In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Our Lady of La Salette, pray for us. Saint Januarius, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Feast of St. Januarius. It's the miraculous event happens in Naples almost every year, where the dried blood of St. Januarius in a sealed container just all of a sudden liquefies. And it's a little miracle that God gives to his people. Even in these days, God wants us to know that there's something beyond the natural, and that's the supernatural, something beyond the human, and that's the divine. Today is also Our Lady of La Salette, where Melanie and Maximin saw Our Lady, and here she is. She's a little statue of Our Lady, where she was weeping, and she was weeping because the people of the town were not keeping holy the Sabbath and swearing. Could you imagine the weeping now, what Our Lady is going through? She was there to basically help people return back to God by not swearing. I mean, cursing God, cursing, using the name of God in vain is a horrible thing. And it's part of our society today. You know, everybody, it seems like, using the Lord's name in vain and not keeping holy the Sabbath. Sabbath is another, for most people, not giving glory to God, not glorifying the Lord on that day, keeping it holy, but it's another Saturday where they can do what they want. And the picture, the wonderful, wonderful picture of Our Lady of La Salette is, it's just, hello, it's just this astonishing. Our Lady is so beautiful. The Mother of God is so beautiful that we should honor her, you know, with an image of her. And there is the feasts of Our Lady that are, it's every day of the year. There's a feast of Our Lady throughout the world. Why? Our Lady always brings us to Jesus. She's the one that loved him the most. And she cried bitter tears, Our Lady of La Salette, to blessed Melanie and blessed Maximin, saying, you know, you're on the wrong road and you will be punished. I mean, think about it. We don't even think about it anymore. She wept because it's basically 101 years before the end of World War II. It's 1946. September 19th, Our Lady doesn't want to lose us. She loves us. She was given to us as our mother when Jesus hung on the cross. And it is our obligation to listen. And that's why when you read the month of May, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, Our Lady says to Louisa, listen, I want to tell you something. Listen. A mother is always trying to help the children, you know, and protect the children. Mary more so than human mothers. We have a divine mother, and it's essential for us to do what she asks. She asked at Fatima three things: pray the rosary, you know, pray the rosary, carry the rosary, squeeze the rosary, wear the scapular, the clothing of heaven, and attend First Saturday Masses. Those are the only three things she asked. Our Lady of America asked that she be processed in the Basilica by the bishops. And then she says, this is my last request to humanity. Then she says, I will save America and then save the world. Our obligation is to pray and to get closer to Our Lady so she brings us the love that she has, the love of a mother for her son. It's essential, and to go through the seven sorrows of Mary is essential. Her tears are powerful. A woman's tears are powerful. Mary's tears are explosive. They're so powerful that everything in your family and your life will change when we wake up, when we turn back to God. And I've always said, for those in the divine will, to begin this wake up is to keep holy the Sabbath. It's a day to glorify the Lord. Again, her tears are, I mean, with the image, we always see Our Lady weeping. She knows that to get to heaven, you have to be perfect. And that's a lot of work. Striving to be a saint is a lot of work. So what God is doing is, and again, the miracles that are coming, hopefully they won't be too late for everybody. But she basically says in other apparitions that she's going to wake us up. Remember the 101 tears of Our Lady of Akita, the 50th anniversary is coming up on October 13th. October 13th is a powerful day. It's the day where Pope Leo XIII had the vision in 1884, and 33 years later was the miracle of the sun on October 13th. October 13th is 50 years ago was Our Lady of Akita. 1956, Our Lady appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim on October 13th. The Lord is trying to get us ready for what he is going to do. You know, we just began last Friday, Rosh Hashanah. Soon, you know, in a few days, it'll be Yom Kippur. It's the new year to where we confess our sins. This is the Jewish understanding. Our understanding is to go to confession, to get ready for what God is going to bring about, to stay in the state of grace, to keep holy the Sabbath, to pray the rosary, wear the scapula, attend First Saturday Masses. The five First Saturdays basically ends in October. It's to get ready for what God is going to bring about. It's a new beginning for humanity that's coming. So what we're going to talk about today is April 18th, 1927. And Jesus wants us to know that greater things are coming. So he says, my daughter, Louisa, my daughter, what great difference passes between one act done in my divine will and one act, even if it's good, is done outside the divine will. Now, what does that mean? Everything that you think, say, and do with our intellect, memory, and will should be done for the glory of God. In his will, I do this in your will, Lord. And even if it's good, if you, I'm going to build a church for, in honor of Our Lady of La Salette. And you just say, let's do it. Let's get the money. Let's build it. We're done. Jesus says, that's not as good as if you've done this for the glory of God. So he says to Louisa, one act, even good outside of the divine will, there's a big difference between one act done in the divine will. With the first, doing it in the divine will, one flows in one, that one, it flows a divine life. And this life fills heaven and earth. And the act receives the value of a divine life. Now, why? When we do something in the divine will, we do it for the glory of God, for the love of God. And in the divine will, Jesus build in my building. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. That's Jesus. That act that's done, he takes us at our word. He breathes in our breathing. He beats in our heart beating. He builds in our building. He walks in our walking. He dances in our dancing. We're letting him be the Lord of our life. And what happens? That act receives the value of Jesus's act. It's a divine life, and it never ends. It goes on for all eternity. What is that life of Jesus? It's giving praise to the Father. It's letting the Father receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that the Heavenly Father rightly deserves. So Jesus comes to earth. Mary comes to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? To begin to live, teach us how to live in the divine will as Jesus did, as Mary did. So your acts, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your acts become gods. Lord, breathe in my breathing. He doesn't say, get out of the way, let me breathe. He goes, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. What Blessed Melanie said, she said, basically, we're at the point where there's only, we're of God or of the devil. There's nothing in between. I think Sister Lucy said that too. Either of God or of the devil. See, we're at that end times. What did Blessed Melanie do? She helped start Saint Annabelle de Francia, the Daughters of Divine Zeal. She understood the words of Saint Louis de Montfort, that there will be a group of the apostles of the end times. That's one of the things she started. So tomorrow, on the 20th, is the feast of Blessed Maximin. Pray to him. Pray to Melanie. Pray to her. Ask her to help us turn back to God. The devil is all around. Remember what Jesus said to Louisa. He said, Louisa, I have to release all the demons. And Louisa said, Jesus, you don't have to do that. You're the Son of God. You don't have to do this. Well, why are you doing this? And he says, Louisa, you don't understand. Humanity wants the demonic. I have to give that to them. The devil wanted hell. He gave hell to the devil. It was that which is not of God. And let's just think about, you know, what we see even in Halloween, Holy Eve, the eve before All Saints Day. A lot of people dress, the main costume today is living dead, zombies. That's demonic. And people want this. You look at, there's skulls and witches and warlocks. It's all promoted on the day before all this. We honor all the saints. The evening before, it's turned into a demonic day. And our understanding is not to participate in that. Our understanding is Jesus wants us to be glorified with him. Jesus wants us to radiate in divine light as the Lord. And that's why he's showing us that praying in the divine will, doing our acts and our rounds of the divine will, it's God in us that's doing it. See, Adam threw God out. In the garden, God says, do anything you want, but don't eat of that fruit of that tree. All the other trees are yours. And Adam, through Eve, said, I'm going to listen to the devil. So God said, you can't stay in paradise anymore. You've lost that faithfulness, the faith, being faithful and obedient to God. You have to go with the one you wanted, the one you listened to. And so for the last 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the evil one. Now, Jesus is telling us through Louisa very powerfully, that's all coming to an end. And what does Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in 1947? 40 days after Louisa died, he said, Our Lady said that time has now come to an end. Now, it's not the end of the world. This end of this era of the fallen nature, this body is food for worms, you know, and people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. That's not what Jesus tells Louisa. We want to live in the divine will, but you to live in the divine will, he says to Louisa, it'll be at your death. I will give this to you completely. When you are done, when you are finished of all that you were called to be, Louisa, I will take you to heaven. That's where she sees the row of suns. Everything that she's done in doing the acts of the round of divine will, living in the divine will, finally, it's the fullness. So a lot of things are coming. Amazing things are going to happen. I just look at everything that God is showing us is close. It's far closer than we think. It's really what God is going to do, it's going to be, I think, so shocking to people that they are so far from God. The tears that Mary had for us, knowing that there will be people who are not ready for what God is going to bring upon the earth. This is 100 years, basically more than 170 years ago, Our Lady said to Blessed Melanie and Blessed Maximin, get ready for what's coming. So he's teaching us now how to live this divine life, live in us. It's not fullness yet, because the fullness was come with the new bodies, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the glorified bodies, like Jesus and Mary. They're living in it. It's not for human our bodies couldn't endure the beauty, the power, the love that would be flowing into us by living in the divine will like Jesus and Mary. Our bodies would just disintegrate, because it's divine. So Jesus is saying, little by little, he's getting us ready for what he is going to do. So he says, when you do your acts and your rounds of the divine will, know that this is a divine life, Jesus in you, that's doing it. A life that fills heaven and earth. A life that receives the value of a divine life. Okay, so the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is living in the divine will. That's her triumph. She has one at this point, the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will, Louisa. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is to live in the divine will. Jesus told Saint Faustina that he wants her to be a living host. What Jesus tells Louisa is how to become a living host. That's why it's so great to read. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, he keeps on expanding our capacity to understand this mystical life, this divine life that Louisa wrote and put in the Book of Heaven. It's Jesus who's teaching us, not Louisa. It's through Louisa, because he breathed this into her, and she had to write faithfully what Jesus said, what Mary said. So we're really being taught by Jesus and Mary through Louisa. We really become apostles of these last times, these end times, as St. Louis de Montfort says. So within the second flows, okay, that when you just do the will of God, when you just do good, it's a human life. And that human life is limited. That human life is restricted. And many times its value ends with the value of the act. Oh, there it is. There's the church. If you're building a church, okay. In the divine will, it's a divine Jesus, that act, that which you have completed is enters into the eternal, enters into the divine. We're going to see this. We're going to understand this, because either it's God or the devil. And the fastest growing religion in the United States at this time is Satanism. The fastest growing. This is what people want. This is what we see with in movies, in television, in all sorts of music, the hip hop. It's leading the children towards the devil. Now this is what's great about the prayer of the divine will. Praying in the divine will, praying your rounds in the divine will. You're praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as Jesus did, as Mary did. You're being conscious of, this is what Jesus did. This is what Mary did. This is how they want us to pray. So praying the rounds, we begin to see the I love yous in all of creation. The divine I love you. Breathe into us this divine I love you. Now, if you don't know the divine will, you give, I want to give you my I love you. That's a human I love you. We want to give to the Father Jesus's I love you, Mary's I love you, the new Adam and the new Eve's I love you, which goes beyond the human. This is why praying the command prayer is so essential. Again, we get hints of this in the New Testament. We get hints of this with Peter seeing Jesus walking on the water, and he says to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. I want to do this too. And so Jesus says, come. That's all Jesus said. Take my prayer, make it your command. He says, come. Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water, and the waves are going all over the place, and he becomes frightened. He took his eyes off of Jesus. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, you are going to become terrified. We have to learn this. What Jesus teaches Louisa is always be focused on me. Always be focused on my mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. And even though the waves might be enormous, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to bother you. So Peter looks at the waves and he gets nervous and he starts sinking and he cries out to the Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs him and says, what's wrong with you? Why did you fail? See, God can do anything. And when we put our prayer into God's hand as his command, that's what the command prayer is all about. Your Lord, you are the one that I trust in. You are the one that I believe in. Not what I want, but what you want. Let it be done as you say. So God is saying to us, I want you to be focused on God. Keep holy the Sabbath on God. And again, when you first begin this, people are going to be angry with you. We always play cards on Sunday. Keep holy the Sabbath. I can't do that anymore. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You know, it's our day to play. No, it's God's day to worship him, to keep holy, to adore him and to love him. It's a day to when you keep holy the Sabbath, the rest of the week is easy. When you don't keep holy the Sabbath, everything falls apart. Monday is a boring day to begin the boring week. We're with God. We're focused on God. We honor God. We glorify the Father. We want to be one with him. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord. Let's begin at least one day a week. That's his day, not our day. And as you begin to do this, you're going to be disliked by your family. You know, oh, you're ruining our fun. Everybody loves a pooper. So that's why we invited you. So God is going to teach us. He's going to help us become Catholic. He's going to help us to become Catholic again. On this day where we see Our Lady weeping, on this day, we have to make that commitment to Our Lady that we will keep holy the Sabbath. We will stop swearing. I know some people say, well, it's part of who I am. I swear it's part of my personality. No, it's not. That's not part of our personality. Even our human imperfections are going to be purified. They're going to be perfected. I had one friend who said, well, this is me. I'm melancholy. I don't, it's just, that's my life. No, it's not. It's as crazy as when somebody says, I'm only human. What do you expect from me? You're not only human. You're called to be sharing in divinity, image and likeness of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, and if there's any value in doing something human, it's a human value that is subject to perishing. God wants us to enter into eternity. What did Our Lady say? Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation. I have a picture of her, but she's over there. Our Lady of Revelation is, Our Lady said to Bruno, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. We belong in eternity. Why? She says, why? To enjoy the beatific vision. We were created by God to look at God. He says, He is so beautiful. He is so holy. He is so perfect that he wanted children to enjoy God, to delight in God. That's why we were created, to enjoy the beatific vision. And Our Lady said that the children of the evil one will always be trapped in time and space. That's where we are right now, time and space, she says, and will never enjoy the beatific vision. So what is our goal? Why are we here? It's to get ready for eternity. Well, what about the earth? There's so many. That's so Jesus teaches Luisa to let go of everything that is human, the fallen human nature, to enter into the divine human nature of Jesus and Mary. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. And God is asking us, how do you want to live? How do you want to possess this beatific vision within you? See, that's what it is. We participate in God, image and likeness of God. Right now, through holy baptism, we are in God's image. Sooner than you think, we're going to be facing eternity. And what did we do on earth to get ready for eternity? What did we do? Did we keep holy the Sabbath? Or did we make our mother cry? Did we make sure that every word that comes out of our mouth is to give glory to God, to praise God, to love God, to glorify God? Or was the mouth just running, saying anything it wanted to? See, it's we're here to get ready. And he's making it very clear for us with all the apparitions. I mean, even the blood of a dead man comes to life on his feast day, St. Januarius. Dried blood. I mean, other than today, basically the blood of St. Januarius looks like crumpled up paper. And then on this day, it becomes liquid. God is trying to tap our shoulder and say, there's more to life than what you're living. Volume 21, April 24th, 1927. So it is with all of creation. Man looks at creation, but he does not receive the life of love placed by God in all created things. This is why Jesus is teaching us how to pray the rounds. Adam prayed the rounds. He adored God and loved God and praised God and thanked God and glorified God in paradise for every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water. Why? Everything in creation is of God. It's the love of God in creation. So when you begin to pray the round of creation, and this is the beauty of it, when you teach your children how to pray the round of creation, I know a number of families, when they raise their children, they say to the children, okay, now it's your turn. We just went through what I see in the love of God. What do you see? And it's amazing. I want to thank God and praise God and love God for ants, little teeny ants. I want to praise God and love God and glorify God for the clouds in the sky. Everything is an I love you to us. That's why Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, came to earth. Why did they teach Luisa the round of creation? And from volume 16 to volume 36, Jesus says, Luisa, your life is to pray the rounds as Adam did, to pray the rounds as the new Adam and the new Eve did. Your whole prayer life changes. That's why when John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, we are going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. It's the rounds found in the Book of Heaven. And you can teach your children, where do you see an I love you that I don't see it? And the children will show you what they see as an I love you. And it's like we, with the love of Jesus, with the love of Mary in us, they are the ones that we're learning from them, if you want to say DNA, if you want to say, to breathe back out God's divine, I love you, back to God. Image and likeness. So that's what Jesus is teaching us, not to pray. See, a lot of our prayers are pleading with God, you know, please, 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 for years. Please, 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 please. Prayer, Jesus says, pray. When you pray, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. It's confidence in God. It's trust in God. It's belief in God. It's Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're going to do this in me. That's why you came to earth. You wanted to redeem me. And now you want to sanctify me. What's the sanctification? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary reigning in us. So Jesus says, so it is with all creation. Man looks at creation, but he does not receive the divine life of the love placed by God in all created things, because man does not place his will, nor does he open his heart to receive this continuous outpouring of love of God in us. See, our human will is, I'm in charge. I'm going to do what I want. That's why we go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid any near occasion of sin. And God goes, good. Let's see if you can do that. So what God is showing us, what God is asking of us, he's really asking us to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary that was breathed into Louisa. This continuous outpouring of love. See, the divine will is love. The war that we're going to fight, and we're the apostles of last times. The weapons that God is giving us to fight is love. To love God with all our mind, all our heart, all our strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Why do we love ourselves? Jesus reigns there. Why do we love our neighbor? Jesus reigns there. We have been chosen by God to live at this time in these end times. I mean, you got to be serious. This has not happened before, what's going on. Everyone is affected worldwide, not just a nation. So God wants our heart to be, the first thing you do in the divine will is you say to the Lord, I desire the divine will. Lord, be the king of my heart. My heart will be your throne. Open my heart to receive this continuing outpouring of love of the Father. Let me begin to see the I love yous in creation, hear the I love yous in creation, smell the I love yous in creation, taste the I love yous in creation. He said, I made your senses for God. Lord, you reign in me. You be the Lord of my life. It's Jesus shows Louisa that for God to reign, you can't be there because you're reigning. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I make sure this and I'm me. Jesus says it has to be the Lord and Our Lady. That's the proper order. Lord Jesus, what do you want? Holy Mary, what do you ask of me today? It's to be in communion with the new Adam and the new Eve. That's the life of Louisa. So Jesus says, in spite of this, the divine outpouring of love does not stop. Even though people don't hear God, see God, smell God, taste God, all the I love yous of God all around us. He says, our regenerative breath is always an act. This breathing is in motion. And we, triune God, wait for the kingdom of our divine fiat so that this love of ours, hovering all around humanity, may descend into the midst of creatures. Great things are coming. And what does he say? When this love of God descends into the midst of humanity and give our divine life, and in receiving humanity will form their own outpouring of love, letting God reign in them. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, to give back to God from whom they have all received everything. It's Jesus in us that is giving back to the Father. He's like, he wants us to allow him to reign in us. That was the life of Adam. And we are so far from that, that when Jesus says, I want you to die to your human will, what did Our Lady teach Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom? To present your human will to the throne of God, at the foot of the throne of God. Lord, it's yours. I don't want my human will. Again, what's your human will? This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Fallen nature. Jesus has redeemed us. He's given us the medicine to restore us back to normal through the sacraments and sacramentals. But Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. Now is the time for God to win. He's going to win in us. We're going to begin to live the life that God originally planned for humanity. And what is that life? To enter into eternity and to enjoy the beatific vision. So what does he do? He gives us the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. We see Jesus in the monstrance. And what do? Do we read a book? Or do we fall in love with God? Do we look at God and thank him and praise him and love him and glorify him? Use that hour and break it into 15 minutes to adore God, to be contrite, to thank God, and to supplicate, to pray. These are my prayers. This is what I'd like you to answer. So it's ACTS. And then in that 15 minutes, you have 15 things to adore God for. All right, and if that's too hard for you to do, to spend a whole minute adoring God, cut it into 30 seconds. So it will be 30 things that you can adore God. Write them down on a piece of paper. Go in and say, Lord, the first 15 minutes, I'm going to adore you. Use a stopwatch. Get to, you know, don't look at it. But as you press the button, adore him, and then look at it. Oh, my, it's only been 5 seconds. I thought I was here for 30. We are so far from God that we have to really train ourselves to fall in love. And then what happens is it becomes natural. It's like riding a bicycle. You know, you fall until you get to ride it. It's the same thing with adoring God, and then thanking God, and then being contrite, sorry for your sins. I'm sorry for your sins, and then thanking God, and then supplicating, you know, asking God, please, Lord, this is my family. This is my friends. This is this. And then what will happen is he leads you beyond that. I remember when I was in the seminary in 1964, we would sit in the pews and we'd have a half an hour, and I'd write everybody's name on a sheet of paper. I read everybody's name on a sheet of paper. And I'd say to the Lord, okay, Lord, for grandma and grandpa, my father was the 12th of 14 children. So there was all my parents, my relatives, my friends, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, everybody, you know. At the end of all I could do was, I mean, I'd zip through it as fast as I could to read all the names, and the half hour would be over, basically. So, I mean, I wrote down everything. Well, what happened was, after about a month or so, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not praying. All I'm doing is running through words. Here, Lord, you know this. I said, for all those that I desire, for all those that I pray for, Lord, answer these prayers. I present them to you, Lord. I know that you're going to answer these prayers. And God does. He looks at your intention. What's your intention? My intention in front of the Blessed Sacrament is to fall in love with him. That's my intention. I want to spend time looking at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Again, occasionally reading a few things from the Book of Heaven, but I focus on falling in love with him. I read and I go, Lord, you were just so amazing. Looking at him, adoring him, thanking him, praising him, glorifying him. This is what God is waiting for. And this is the life of Adam. This was before the fall. And this is the life of Jesus and Mary. So Jesus is trying to get us ready. Why? He says to begin to echo. If you haven't read the Echo book, it's all the prayers that Jesus taught Louisa. And if you want to know what the prayers of Louisa is, it's not your prayers. It's to echo Jesus's prayers. Echo Mary's prayers. Echo from the one who lived in the divine will, the only human who lived in the divine will to the fullness, Louisa. So, therefore, my daughter, Jesus says, the whole of creation is centralized over you, Louisa. Why does he say that? Because Louisa begins again where Adam fell. The Son of God came to earth. The Mother of God came to earth to redeem us. The new Adam and the new Eve. Now what Jesus is saying is, I want to begin humanity again. That's what sanctification is. Where Adam stopped, where Adam fell, he says to Louisa, you begin. And now you, Louisa, will be able to give this to all of humanity. So what does Jesus say? All of creation is centralized over you, Louisa Picaretta. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? All of creation is centralized over a human being born of original sin. Wasn't that Jesus' job? Wasn't that Mother Mary's job? No, Adam was not the Son of God. Adam was not the Mother of God. Adam was a human perfected. Jesus is a human perfected. Mary's a human perfected. Why? To bring humanity back to where God originally planned. So he says to Louisa, now you're going to bring this about. So he says, I, God, look at you, Louisa, from the starry heavens, and I send you, Louisa, this outpouring of divine love. Why? To share it with us. We're learning from Louisa how to pray, how to live that abundant life that Adam lost. The before the fall, Adam was filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's what the divine will does. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you're not reading. If you're reading the book of heaven, you fall in love with God. It's Jesus and Mary speaking to you through Louisa. And you hear them not with your ears. You hear them with your heart. Your heart becomes peaceful. Your life becomes joyful and happy. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no doubts. And soon, hopefully soon, there'll be no sin. You can't believe what's coming. This is a glorious time to be alive. The saints didn't know this. I mean, St. Louis de Montfort says there will be apostles of the last times. That's what we are. The apostles of the last times. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. So he says, I look at you, Louisa, from the starry heavens. Remember, the first thing I heard back in 1976 was, look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. I look at you from the starry heavens and I send you this outpouring of divine love. I look at you from the sun and I breathe over you, Louisa, and I send you my divine life. It's not the fallen human. It's the divine life of Jesus, the divine life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which has been breathed into Louisa, and God wants to breathe that into us. It's really a new beginning that our Lord is showing us. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.